Waterboarding is arguably the cruelest technique of any torture technique imaginable. Do you guys know what the mammalian diving reflex is?
No.
Okay, we've all got it. It's in our heads. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you were a child right now, you're driving along and you went out into the East River with your grandchild or your child in the back of your car, and that child was, let's say, 11 months old, how long do you think that child could stay alive in the freezing water of the East River?
3 minutes.
You're wrong. That child could be pulled up within 30 minutes, and not only would the child be alive, but the child would have no brain damage. And that sounds crazy, because an adult is dead in about 3 or 4 minutes. And if the adult is deprived of oxygen, the brain is severely damaged. What happens is we have this thing inbuilt in us called the mammalian diving reflex. And for an infant, the body shuts down all of the organs and husbands the oxygen in the lungs and sends it up to the brain to keep the one organ that must have oxygen in order to stay alive and not suffer damage, the brain. And so we have within us, as a result of this mammalian diving reflex, this deep biological terror of water and drowning. It's that hard into our systems. It's in the human biology. This is not culture. This is deep. And so when water constricts our breathing, the body, okay, tells the mind, you're dying. This is more dramatic, more direct than taking a gun and putting it up to the head, which is illegal.
Yeah.
Given what we've seen over the past several months from DOJ lawyers in the Biogram cases, I don't think you're going to see much of a sea change with respect to detainee policy in a meaningful way.
I want to go back to the decision again. What you did was you filed, as you worked on with Guantanamo, a writ of habeas corpus for your four clients, which means the right to go to court and challenge their detention. As you said, the Obama administration, first the Bush administration, and then the Obama administration really took a very similar position, which is they have absolutely no legal rights at Guantanamo for habeas corpus. And then you won. And in a 55-page decision by Judge Bates, apparently, just a week or so ago, what was the key part of Judge Bates' decision?
The crux of Judge Bates' decision was that the fact that there is no other process and there's no other place that these particular individuals can go, and that the United States has ultimate control over their fates. So I think it's significant in that it provides a limit on the executive's ability to act lawlessly without any sort of judicial check.
Mara, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you for having me.
It seems that every time we have you on as a guest, we're here to celebrate a huge constitutional victory. And today is no different.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Should only be so easy, right, Mara?
That's right.
We only have you on when you win.
Right. Just so our listeners know, you had challenged practice of D.C. police of setting up checkpoints in certain neighborhoods, Trinidad being one, ostensibly because it would cut down on crime.
There were car checkpoints, right?
Yes, in the District of Columbia last summer, the mayor and the attorney general here deployed this extraordinary checkpoint program in which it was really a blockade or barricade program. The special order for the police department authorized sealing off of an entire neighborhood, the police sealing the entrances, setting up checkpoints, allowing no one in without them being seized by car, no one to drive in on public roadways, without being seized by the police and interrogated. It's a seizure and interrogation program. The police would question you as to what you were doing, where you were going, who you were visiting, demanded that you provide them identity information, information on your associates, information on your plan, information on what you were doing, who you knew, phone numbers for the people you want to visit, and information like that. And then,
wait a second, before you got there, if I drove my car into this neighborhood, that would have happened to me?
Yes.
Everybody who went in?
Yes.
Michael, there's a new court decision that rules on the issue of when offering a drink of water is a crime. What's your take on this?
Well, we're bringing this, I think, to people's attention for two reasons. One, because it has to do with immigration and refugees in Mexico and the border, but it also has to do with Jay Bybee. Jay Bybee is a judge on the Ninth Circuit, which is an appeals court, one of the major appeals courts in the United States, and he was, of course, the infamous author of the torture memos, or one of the authors of the torture memos, in which he basically said the words for torture and abuse are too vague and you can't really tell what they are, and therefore waterboarding and things like that are outlawed as torture. Well, the case that came before them, when is offering a drink of water a crime, was a case in which a group called No More Deaths, that's No More Deaths, that operates in Arizona, goes through and leaves gallon jugs of water in various places so that refugees who are dying, really dying, can get a drink of water. And they left a bunch of these in a national park. And as they were leaving them, a National Parks police pulls up behind them and says, you know, what you're doing here is littering, and I'll shorten the whole explanation, but you're littering by leaving these water bottles, and I want you to go pick them up. Now, these guys are tough guys, the No More Deaths, and as they knew they were being followed by the cops about picking up the water bottles, they, of course, unveil a huge sign that says No More Deaths on the back of their truck, and they fail to pick up all the water bottles. And they get charged under a parks regulation of a misdemeanor for littering. The parks regulation prohibits littering, and it's a criminal statute. And they go to a trial, and they get convicted at the lowest district court of littering. It goes to the Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit, and 2-1, the court says, the word littering does not mean leaving bottles of water for people who are going to starve or die from a lack of water. That's not the meaning. The word is too vague for people to tell that that would have been criminal conduct. There's vagueness in this word littering. And therefore, the conviction was reversed 2-1, and the people got off. Now, what's interesting about the case is the dissent was written by Jay Bybee, the infamous Jay Bybee, who wrote the torture memos, who said the word torture is too vague. He did not think the word littering was too vague, to give people notice that dropping off water bottles would be littering. Now, that sounds pretty vague to me, dropping off water bottles being littering. But Bybee said, no, littering has a clear meaning. And in this case, whether you use the word in the statute garbage or littering, it's not vague. And the people knew that what they were doing was violating a criminal statute. So here's a guy who, when it comes to torture, said this is too vague to prosecute anybody for torture, and you can allow almost anything. But when it comes to dropping off water bottles to give people to survive, he says the word littering is not too vague, and the people should have known that littering included the dropping off of gallon jugs of water to save refugees coming across the border.